It's a great privilege for me to be here again in Letterkenny. Didn't have quite so far to travel this time as last time, just from up the road in Stranorra. Now we turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And in this passage that was read, there's a threefold description of the activity of the elder, and a threefold statement regarding the respect and honor that is due to the elder because of the office that he holds. Now, before we look at this in detail, we need to remind ourselves and remember that the work of the eldership is principally involved with the government of the church. And there is to be a recognition of that government and authority demonstrated by the congregation in the submission that is due to them. Now, that can sound a wee bit harsh when we talk about submission. And yet, we need to understand that submission is a biblical principle that is seen in many areas of life. Now, we could go through lots of different verses, but I'm going to mention four things. It's seen in the world itself, in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 8. It's seen in the home, in Ephesians chapter 5 verse 22 and chapter 6 and verses 1 and 2. We are told that the husband is head of the home. In society, Titus chapter 2 verses 5 and 9 and chapter 3 and verse 1. Now I'm going through these very quickly because there's a lot more stuff to get through. Even the Lord Jesus Christ was in submission to his Father. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 8, although the Lord Jesus Christ was God, yet he was in subjection and in submission to his Father. It should not be surprising, therefore, that a similar submission is required in the church. Now, submission does not mean subservience. Neither does it destroy the integrity or individuality of the person who gives it or who renders it. It is a willingness to recognize the authority and the structure that God has been pleased to place within his church, within life, and within society. So that's just by way of introduction, just to let you know that submission is something that we see in every area of our lives, and it's something that God has ordained within his church. Now we're going to look at three very straightforward things. First of all, the reason for submission. The reason for submission. Submission is to be given to the elders because of the work that they are called upon to perform. Submission is not given to the elders because they are super people. Submission is not given to the elders because they are not sinful people. Submission is not to be given to the elders because somehow they are superior to the rest of you. That is not the idea at all. Submission is to be given to the elders because of the work that they undertake. And this work is described here in this passage by three words. First of all, they are said to be those who labor. And the idea of this in 1 Thessalonians 5, now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you. Now that word work hard or labor, it has a particular connotation, and it means severe toil, exhausting labor. It's a specific word that's used for those who sweat and who strain and who work exceptionally hard. Severe toil. And that's the word that is used for the work of the elder. It is a word often used to describe the work of the elder. Romans 16 and 12, 1 Corinthians 15, 10, Galatians 4, 11, 1 Timothy 5, 17. Now it's important that you recognize that. The work of the elder is a laborious task. Nobody should take on the work of the eldership unless they are willing to work hard. Unfortunately, in so many areas, an elder or somebody is elected to the eldership because he has a status in society, because he's a bank manager, or because he's some kind of clever person, and so therefore he's seen to be a fit person to govern the Church of Christ. Or we want to elect someone to give them status within the congregation. What the Apostle Paul says here is, if you have an elder, and if you're going to be an elder, then you must be prepared to work hard. And the congregation must respect him because he does work hard. Because the very office of the elder implies working hard. And we have an idea of what is involved in this same passage. We urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle. Encourage the timid. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong. But always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Now, if that's true for everyone in the congregation, it's that much more true for the elder. He is to encourage. He is to warn. He is to be patient, and so on. Hard work. The second word is presiding over you. Presiding over you. Those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord. Now, the Apostle Paul stresses in other places that the elder is not to lord it over God's heritage. In other words, he's not to be there as some kind of boss. He's not there to order you about. He's not there to tell you what to do in that sense. But he is to preside over you. Their rule is in the Lord. They seek to administer his rule among the people of God. Now the elder has the responsibility to teach. He has the responsibility to teach God's word. Not just the minister, the elder. Now the elder normally does it individually. The elder has the responsibility to warn, as we have seen, to guide, to give instruction. How are you going to submit to that? How are you going to submit to his rule? Because his task is to rule in the congregation. Now he rules in the Lord. He rules under the Lord. He rules according to the word of the Lord. But he is to rule in the congregation. And the task of the members of the congregation is to submit to that rule, to submit in the Lord. So he labors, he presides over you, and the third word is admonish, and who admonish you. This is perhaps the most difficult area. And this is the area where most conflict could arise, and where submission is most difficult to render. Now, the word literally means to put in mind, to correct by word, a word of encouragement, or a word of remonstrance. It implies teaching. Yes, it does. But it has special reference to practical counsel. The elder has a responsibility to counsel. He has a responsibility to counsel young people, to give them guidance, instruction, direction. He has a responsibility to counsel families, husbands and wives. He has a responsibility to counsel in the whole context of the family situation. That is his task. That is his job. And that job implies correction, admonition. Now that is to be in the context of pastoral care. Suggestions, warnings, earnest pastoral instruction, unwearied, tender, and watchful guidance in the midst of trial, struggle, and temptation. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. So the reason that a congregation is to submit to their elders is because of the work they do. Because the work is hard, it's a labor, because they have the authority under God to preside or to rule over you, and they have the responsibility to admonish you in the Lord. Now, these are not the words of the Reformed Presbyterian Church. These are not the words of me, a minister of the gospel. These are the words of God. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord, and who admonish you. And listen to these words. Hold them in the highest regard because of their work. Hold them in the highest regard because of their work. That's the reason for submission. The second thing I want us to notice is the character of this submission. The character of this submission. Again, there are three significant words that must be noted. First of all, know them. Know them. Not just a superficial knowledge, but a knowledge of them as persons and an understanding and appreciation of the office that they have been given, so that their worth and their value may be understood. The word know is translated in this version as respect. Respect them. And you will respect them if you know them. The men before you today are men who have been tested. They have been men who have served as elders in another congregation. They are men whose lives are known amongst you. I urge those of you within the congregation to know them. To know them as deeply and profoundly as you can, so that you might know something of their situation, of their struggles, of their difficulties, because as they serve you, you must never forget that they too are men. They too are men who have temptations and trials and difficulties. As you know them, you will respect them and you will honor them. The second thing we have here is esteem them very highly. We are commanded to have a very high regard for men who are in the eldership. Now, for those of us who are elders, because those of us who are ministers are also elders, when we look at what the Scripture requires of us, we tremble. We wonder why we ever took on this office. And the thing that comes into our minds is, who is able for these things? We are to esteem them very highly and to have a very high regard for the men who are in the eldership. And this is dealing with the attitude of submission. It means that we hold a very high view of the office they hold. And so we honor them. We respect them. Not just because they are good men. We should respect all men. We should respect one another within the congregation. But especially we respect the elders, not just because they are good men, but we respect them because they hold an office from God. Now, what does that mean? It means that gossip and adverse criticism of the elders behind backs is an evidence that they are not being held in the highest regard. Now, your elders will make mistakes. They will do things that they shouldn't do. I'm not talking specifically about Robert and Colin. I'm saying because they're men. Because they're men and they're subject to temptations and trials and difficulties just like the rest of you. But if they do something that they shouldn't do, or if they do something that upsets you or offends you, if you respect them for the office that they hold, then you will go to them and you will tell them. You will not gossip about it amongst yourselves. You won't seek to undermine their authority by talking about these things amongst yourselves. You will go to them and you will tell them and you will share with them what it is that you believe that they have done wrong. We are to esteem them very highly because of the office that they hold. The third thing, we are to know them. We are to esteem them very highly. And we are to love them. We are to love them. Love is a fundamental aspect of submission. It is because we love the Lord that we embrace his yoke. Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon me and learn of me." And we submit ourselves to Jesus because we love him. Because we love him with heart and soul and mind and strength. And so we will do anything that he asks us to do. We will submit to him because we love him. A Christian wife submits to her husband because she loves him. And because she acknowledges that God has instituted in marriage a certain order, and that the husband is the head of the home and the wife is to submit to him in love. And she does so because she loves him. May I just remind you what love is? We all think we know, don't we? Let me remind you what love is. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. That's love. That's the way husbands should love their wives, and wives should love their husbands. And that is the way that members of the congregation should love their elders. We are to love our elders. We are to be patient with them, kind to them. We are not to envy them. We are not to boast. We are not to be rude to them. We are not to seek our own will, our own way and will. We are not to be angry with them. We are not to keep a record of the wrong things that they do. We always protect them. We always trust them. We always hope in them. And we always persevere. That's how we're to love our elders. And of course, that's how the elder is to love his congregation. That is how he is to love his people. The character of submission. The final thing. The rewards of submission. The rewards of submission. We have the immediate result of the correct attitude towards the elders in the 13th verse here in 1 Thessalonians 5. Live in peace with each other. Live in peace with each other. There will be an attitude of peace in the congregation that enables the believer to concentrate on the business of seeking to prepare themselves to live God-glorifying lives, to fulfill their responsibilities in the evangelization of the lost. Where there is bickering, upset within a congregation, when the peace of the congregation disappears, then we do not live as God intends his people to live. We do not demonstrate to the world what it means to be a Christian. You remember that in the early church, the one characteristic that unbelievers noticed about the church, it was not their soundness of doctrine, it was not their evangelistic zeal. They said, look how these believers love one another. Look how these believers love one another. And what the Apostle Paul says here is that that happens when we have godly elders and when we have a congregation who respects and honors their elders and who are subservient to them in the Lord as they seek to encourage the timid, to help the weak, to warn those who are idle. In other words, to seek to build up the congregation of God's people. The work of the elder is a precious work. God, in his mercy, has given to his church elders. He has given to his church godly men who will care for the flock. Because over all this is care and love for the people of God. Why does the elder love the people of God? Because they are the people of God. Because they are God's people. And if he loves God, then he will love God's people with all their foibles, with all their errors, with all their sin. He will love them because he loves God. And if you love God, then you will love, honor, and respect those whom God has placed in authority over you, with all their foibles, with all their mistakes, with all their sins. Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord, who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. Now we're going to sing from the Word of God. We're going to sing from Psalm 133. But before we do that, if you would just bow your heads in a word of prayer. Our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you that it is the living word of the living God. And we thank you for your church. We thank you, Lord God, that you give to your church those who have responsibility in that church to rule, to seek to guide the affairs of a congregation. And, O Lord God, we thank you for the men that you've given to this congregation. And we pray that you would equip them for the task that lies before them. We pray, O Lord God, that you would strengthen, uphold, and encourage them. And we pray for the people over whom they will have responsibility. And we ask, O Lord God, that they will submit to the elders as they seek to submit to you. And we pray, O Lord God, that elders and people might love one another with a pure heart fervently, that we might see the work of the Lord God, the work of the Lord Jesus Christ in this place, flourish and grow to the honour and glory of our great God. Hear us, O Lord, we pray. Be pleased to continue with us as we worship you, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we sing from Psalm 133, a psalm of unity within the church. Behold, how good a thing it is, and how becoming well, together such as brethren are in unity to dwell. Like precious ointment on the head, that down the beard did flow, even Aaron's beard, and to the skirts did of his garments go. As Hermon's dew that doth on Zion hills descend, for there the blessing God commands, life that shall never end. We sing these verses in praise to God. We stand and praise God.